The Knight and the Three Earthworms. There once was such a kingdom, but one day a dragon flew in and knocked everything over, smashed the pots, broke the king's crown, grabbed the princess, and flew home. Enclasped by grief, the king announced that whoever rescued the princess would get her hand and half a leg. No one wanted to drag themselves off somewhere into the mountains to fight a dragon. But when the king promised a boob, too, one very noble knight appeared and said to the king,
"All right, then, I'll help you, but whatever I find in the dragon's home will also be mine."
The king rejoiced, and all the kingdom's peasants sighed in relief, knowing the king would no longer hassle them. The knight set off to rescue the princess. He walked like that for several days and nights until his food ran out and hunger enveloped him. Eventually, he reached a large lake. On this occasion, he decided to catch some fish and started turning over the stones and stumps along the shore. He rummaged and thudded for a long time until he found three worms blinded by the light who hadn't managed to catch up and flee. Just as the knight was about to stick one onto the hook, it spoke in a human voice.
"Noble knight, don't kill us, and don't skewer us on the hook. We will help you in better ways. Wrap one of us around the hook and cast it into the water."
The knight was a bit surprised to see a talking worm, but then remembered that dragons existed, calmed down a bit, and replied,
"All right. But if you try to escape, I'll kill your friends."
And threw the hook with the worm into the water. In the water, the worm snuggled up to the hook so the fish wouldn't see it, looked around, and began shouting,
"Hey, fish, swim here and fast, or you'll all get it in the snout."
Shortly thereafter, a carp swam up and said,
"Why are you shouting, not letting me sleep in the mud? I'll eat you right now, you stupid worm."
The worm looked the carp over, weighed that there wouldn't be enough meat for the night, and said,
"Get lost. If you try to eat me, the hook will snag your gill. The night on the shore will pull you out, and it'll be over for you. Only bones will remain."
The carp took a closer look, and sure enough, the hook was visible, and a line ran from the hook to the lake's sky. It thanked the worm and swam off happy to have escaped death. The worm started yelling again, like so he chased off a few more fish, until a large pike swam up to teach the impudent worm a lesson in lake etiquette. The worm assessed her weight, fatness coefficient, and began insulting the pike.
"What are you staring at, you shriveled swamp herring? Swim closer. I'll make a rake for you out of your teeth."
The pike became terribly furious and, without even asking why she needed a rake, lunged to swallow him. But he slipped away swiftly. A tug on the line. The knight yanked and pulled the pike to shore. Everyone ate well and continued on their journey. Late at night, they reached the dragon's cave with large gates. Blindly sealed cave, no windows anywhere. And the gates were locked. The second worm said to the knight,
"See, there's a keyhole in the gate, and not even a finger fits through. But I can unlock the gate from inside."
The knight said,
"All right then, but if you try to escape, I'll kill your friends."
"I'm not going anywhere,"
replied the worm.
"Just let me rummage in your bag a bit."
The worm crawled into the knight's bag filled with all sorts of stuff and pulled out a long piece of wire. He groaned a long time while bending it into some strange curly shape. He inserted it through the keyhole, hooked onto the latch inside, and unlocked the gates. He learned such skills by stealing metal pots, harrows, and other gear from the surrounding villages. The local blacksmith, for a fee, forged from them armor and swords meant for the spring uprising of the worms against the moles and the fishermen. Later, the peasants, having caught the blacksmith, burned him in his own furnace for that. And the moles covered the lands of his entire kin with holes and mounds. The knight quietly snuck up to the dragon and slew it while it slept. Soon after, in one of the rooms, he found the princess. But when she heard she'd have to give him her hand, leg, and even a boob, she got stubborn and didn't want to go home with him. She was already attuned to the dragon's scale, and smaller dimensions didn't interest her. The knight was disheartened, but the third worm said,
"When the princess is sleeping at night, let me into her room and leave the rest to me. Come back to the princess in the morning and ask for her hand again."
The knight thought a bit and said,
"All right, but if you try to escape, I'll kill your friends."
And did as the worm asked. While the princess was sleeping, the worm crawled into her butt, slithered up to her belly, and quietly waited for morning. In the morning, the knight came into the room and again asked the princess nicely to give him her hand along with the other organs. Upon hearing this, the worm began twisting and writhing in her belly. The princess clutched her stomach and thought,
"These must be butterflies in my stomach, which is empirical proof that I love him."
Well, and she agreed to give him her hand, leg, and even both boobs. Since everything turned out very well in the end, the worms said to the knight,
"We helped you. Now release us, noble knight. On your way home, don't forget to stop by the forest near the lake. We'll celebrate your mission's successful ending."
The knight released all the worms and ran to the princess. He still lived with her a few weeks in the castle, grilled dragon shashlik, and feasted on various drinks from the dragon cellar. But the dragon began to stink, so they decided it was time to pack all the dragon's gold they could carry and head home. On the way, they also stopped by the forest to party with the worms. There, the worms were already waiting with a richly laid table. All night, they ate, drank mead and beer, which dripped from all ends in pure and recycled form. They danced, sang, until even the leaves fell from the trees, and in the morning, the worms slaughtered the sleeping and drunk knight and princess. Sitting on a pile of gold, the worms wiped their knives with fallen leaves from the blood and quietly whispered among themselves about the tale's moral. When someone wants to help you, there's no need to throw around threats that you'll kill their friends and afterward howl drunk in the forest and lie unconscious.